Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Sundays, but stop on by there, make a visit. You never know what might show up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with 3 E's.
All right, so I know Dan and I are a little behind on awards since we weren't here yesterday, but it won't take long to catch up because Dan mentioned on Tuesday that Don Mattingly won the NL Manager of the Year award. And I'm looking at the ballot here. He got 20 of the 30 first-place votes. Jace Tingler of the Padres, got 6. And then David Ross, Brian Snitker, Dave Roberts, and Craig Counsell each got 1 first-place vote. Ross did come in 3rd. He was one of the nominees. So not a huge surprise there that Mattingly won, right, since we were expecting the Marlins to lose 100 games, even in a 60-game season.
Pretty much.
So, and then over in the American League, honestly, all you have to do is watch the MLB Network and you know who's going to win these awards. Kevin Cash picked it up pretty easily. He got 22 of the 30 first-place votes. Rick Renteria did manage to finish 2nd. He got 5 first-place votes. Charlie Montoya of the Blue Jays got 2, and Bob Melvin of the A's got the other first place vote. Humorously, Dan, I kept listening to them say how Cash did more with nothing than anybody else. What did they think Renteria had? A bunch of young guys and then Lucas Giolito coming into his own. Were they under the impression that the White Sox were going to win it all at the start of the season and that's why he didn't seem to get a lot of respect?
I don't know. It's kind of confusing. Do you think it has to do with the fact that Cash had nothing to work with except for almost a Cy Young contending pitcher? Should be Cy Young contending pitcher. and the fact that, if you look at it in the eyes of the media, Renteria has the hot prospect.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably how they meant to interpret it. Cash does have, he has a Cy Young winner. Blake Snell won a Cy Young. Obviously Charlie Morton is a very good starting pitcher. So, it's not like he had nothing to work with. I mean, they literally made it seem like he was taking kids off the street. Which oddly is something Mattingly basically had to do when the Marlins had their COVID-19 outbreak. So, it's humorous that they didn't really point this out when they were talking about Mattingly, who literally did some of the stuff they were talking about. I mean, the Marlins don't have anybody who's any type of award winner, but for some reason, they like Cash because he's an analytic guy and it cost him a World Series game, which the voting happens before that actually happened. Otherwise, he probably doesn't win this award. So, it all kind of fits in and works out. But I just thought it's funny. And the other thing, I'm kind of curious on what you think about this. I'm starting to wonder if guys who are supposed to, you know, who manage a team that are supposed to win get enough credit. You know, like Dave Roberts got 3 Manager of the Year votes. I think Brian Snitker got like 5 or 6. I know Snitker has won the award before. You know, does Roberts get no credit for taking a good team and making sure they win?
No, I don't think they get credit for that. Or it's, I wouldn't even say credit. I don't think that's taken into consideration. Hey, you know, because it's like, not to circle it back home to Renteria, but, you know, it could be him with those same prospects. And what happens if this was a regular season and for the first half of the season, all the way, you know, somewhere past the All-Star break, they struggle. And it's Renteria's, you know, coaching that brings them together, and then they take off and come back. And it's the opposite, you know, opposite of what happened this year. Do you think maybe that's kind of what took it away? Well, I guess I'm kind of taking off on 2 tangents with the fact that they kind of fell. But when you're looking at it, as part of the consideration, is that kind of taken away from him too? Because he's got those top prospects, wherein, you know, he could have, they could have screwed up, and, you know, it would be his fault, and that would knock him down money more pegs. So kind of like the same thing you said with Dave Roberts. And that's the thing. That's what makes it hard, is these votes are, you know, what are they based on? What are the awards based on? What's the qualification?
Yeah, because it's odd. It's almost like Roberts was cursed for having a good team. You know, now, you know, they were the best team in baseball. That's not his fault. That's what you want. You know, if they wouldn't have had the best record, or if they would have not won the NL West or something like that, it probably would have been a huge deal. But, you know, they came through and they did what they were supposed to do, and apparently you don't get any credit for that.
No, I guess not. And, you know, I hate to again circle back, but you look at Rick Renteria and they're in first place. They dropped to 3rd by the season end, and opposed to winning their division, you know, they had to go in as a wild card. That consideration may have been taken away from him to put Kevin Cash in that spot. But Dave Roberts put them in that, got them in that position, helped them, and helped them stay in that position. So, you know, kind of like you're saying, where's the consideration for not only getting to first place, but maintaining it?
So, yeah, just kind of baffling. And then they handed out the Cy Young Award yesterday. It went exactly how you expected it to go. Trevor Bauer easily won the National League Award. He got 27 of the 30 first place votes. I was a little surprised when I saw that Yu Darvish actually finished 2nd. And again, Dan, another one of these things that I would love to know why, was left off one of the ballots. J.P. Holmstra, who is affiliated with the Southern California News Group, had Trevor Bauer 1st, Jacob DeGrom 2nd, Dinson Lamet 3rd, Aaron Nola 4th, and Devin Williams 5th. Now, I don't have anything against Nola. I think he's going to be a really good pitcher one day. Williams, we talked about winning the, you know, the Rookie of the Year award. Neither of those guys were better pitchers than Darvish last year. So I pose the question to you that I always do, Dan. How in the hell does this guy got a vote? Because obviously he's not paying attention.
No, and, you know, and this is, I'm going to beat the dead horse. But this is why these are just fun awards, and they shouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't tell me that Darvish wasn't one of the 5 best pitchers in the National League. you know, it's like, okay. So just kind of interesting. DeGrom finished third. He made it on all 30 ballots. You know, Dinson Lamet had a nice showing. He actually got 24th place votes. So he had a nice little outing. Kyle Hendricks picked up a couple votes, Dan. I was surprised to see that. They had Max Fried, Corbin Burns. I mentioned Nola and Williams and Hendricks. Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks got a couple votes. Clayton Kershaw picked up a couple, and Zach Wheeler got one. But no surprise here. It was Bauer, right? I mean, they had kind of decided this once everything was announced that he was going to win regardless. So... you know, not a big surprise there. And then in the American League, even less of a surprise. Shane Bieber wins unanimously. There was no doubt about this. I'm more surprised about the fact that he wasn't one of the top three contenders for MVP. So I'll be interested to see how many votes he gets in that when those come out later. Kenta Maeda finished second. Hyunjin Ryu took the third spot. What I found really interesting here, Dan, is Dallas Keuchel got more votes than Lucas Giolito. Keuchel actually picked up 5 seconds, 4 thirds, 5 fourths, and 4 fifth-place votes. Giolito got 3 thirds, 2 fourths, and 5 fifths.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that it fell out that way. You know, Gerrit Cole finished fourth. Lance Lynn got some votes. Chris Bassett, your guy Dylan Bundy, Liam Hendrick, and Framber Valdez of the Astros also made it onto the ballot. But, yeah, as dominating as Bieber was, this is absolutely no shock that he got every vote, right?
No.
Yeah, and, I mean, he had a great year. You know, I'm not going to dissuade that at all. This is one of the few times I'll actually agree with them, that he was the guy. I did hear some people talking about they thought Gerrit Cole should have been in the top three. And to be fair, he missed out by 1 point. You know, the votes are pointed out. Ryu had 51, Cole had 50. So he was right there. But, you know, again, why are we arguing about the guys who, you know, you knew weren't going to win this award? You know, this was Bieber's award. So just deal with it, and I get it. I would be more interested to know how, you know, like I said, Keuchel finished ahead of Giolito than I would about, you know, Bieber, you know, Gerrit Cole finishing fourth instead of third. So what do we know, right? And you know, tonight they wrap up the awards tonight. We get MVPs. I don't know. Do you have a conclusion on who may take these awards home? You know, I heard a lot of talk today that Freddie Freeman is going to be the guy in the National League, but they seem to be a little up in the air on the American League. I really thought Jose Abreu was going to win it kind of easily. I thought he had the best year out of the three. I like DJ LeMahieu, and Jose Ramirez came on really late just to get in the balloting. So I thought Abreu was the best of the three, but now I'm a little concerned that he may not be the guy. Do you think he's going to get beat out here?
I wasn't thinking, so you kind of put that out there. I mean, it's kind of hard because you've got at least two guys that you might not expect to see in this position. Possibly Abreu a little bit. But I don't know. I think it's Abreu's award to win.
So, yeah, and then, you know, the National League, you know, it's free. I honestly believe, I think it's between Freeman and Mookie Betts. I have a feeling that Manny Machado is just going to be in third place. I don't really see him winning the award. I'm actually kind of interested to know where his teammate You know, Tatis Jr. finishes, considering he was everybody's MVP for the first, what, 6 weeks or so. But
yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, with postseason not counting, do you like Freeman over Betts?
It's kind of a toss-up. I think it's still lean towards Betts, but do you think there's a group of guys that just want to give it to someone else?
Yeah, I honestly think that may have more to do with it than anything as far as it goes. You know, Freeman has been really close to winning this for a couple years now. And I'm just kind of wondering if maybe they're going to look at it and just go, oh, yeah, it's time for this guy to win. And again, you know, they threw all the analytics at me. And, I mean, I don't care. You know, they're both very good players. But I kind of have a feeling, you know, maybe it'll actually be – maybe these will be close races and, you know, it'll be – so, you know, something interesting, and we'll, you know, have something else to talk about. But I kind of got a feeling it's going to be Freeman and Betts, and then with Machado a distant third. So, you know, and then I think the other thing, Dan, that I need to have you figure out for me here is, does Mike Trout finish fourth in the American League, or is he farther down, and does he get any first-place MVP votes?
He wasn't on a winning team.
So, yeah. So come on. Does he finish fourth, and does he get any first place votes?
Oh, of course he gets a couple first place votes, but yeah, I think he finishes in fourth.
Then while we're mentioning Trout, his team, of course, is the Los Angeles Angels. They decided on their GM today, Dan. I have absolutely no idea who he is. Perry, I'm going to guess this is Minasian, is the guy who is going to take over as the Angels general manager. Apparently they went through about 20 candidates, and this guy was the Atlanta Braves assistant to the assistant general manager. So he's going to make the step up and – become become the full-time general manager for the Angels. It looks like he's got a resume. You know, his father was a longtime clubhouse manager for the Texas Rangers, so he's been in and around the game since he was a kid. They don't really kind of mention about what his style is. It kind of funny. He got started as a bat boy, then he graduated to clubhouse attendant, then he became a scout, then he moved from his brother is the clubhouse coordinator for the Nationals, and he's got another brother who's the Giants pro scouting director. So the family is involved in baseball all over the place. Of course, we don't know if this makes him a good GM or not, but sounds like he's got a good resume, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty solid resume.
We all know what the Angels need. They've needed the right pitching for 1,000 years. So we'll see if this guy can deliver it, but it doesn't really mention who any of the other candidates were. Apparently the finalists were this guy who got the job and the assistant general manager for the Mariners. We'll have to see how that goes, while we're on baseball, I got to ask you, Dan, how long is this Tony La Russa story going to hang around?
until the White Sox fire him?
Yeah, but they've already said they're not going to do that. Does that mean we got to deal with this forever? So.
I think sadly we're going to have to deal with this. You know, unfortunately, an old white guy didn't agree. Colin Kaepernick 5-6 years ago, and it's never going to downplay. You know, that's what I feel like it's all about. You know, it's the DUI and it's that.
I guess I get kind of baffled at it. Now, you know, I understand, like I said, this is a serious charge. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, this could have ended a lot worse than it did. But what I don't understand, Dan, is why does he have to lose his job? Is it just because he's in the public eye as a baseball manager? Because, I mean, I hate to say it, people get DUIs all the time, and they don't get fired. You know, it's not like he's not a delivery driver. He doesn't have to get behind the wheel. You know, they can take his license away and prevent him from driving, which I really think they should do, along with probably fining him as much as they could, since this is the moron's second time doing it. You know, he really needs to be taught a lesson. So I'm all for that. I you know, even if they want to lock him up for a little bit, I would be fine there as well. But I don't know why it has, you know, he has to lose his job. You know, again, is it just because he's in the public eye that has to be the finality of it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, but you know, it's also the other part that's driven by the media. You know, that's just something you can add on top of it. You know, that's just the controversy. I mean, let's be honest, the real controversy about it is the way Arizona handled it. Kind of weird, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, something happened in February and it's not announced, you know, charges aren't made until October. That, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like it was set up that way, you know. That's just what it was set up that way.
Yeah, it's very odd that it almost seems like the only reason they're charging him is because it looks like he's going to leave the state, you know, and there's going to be fines involved and all that stuff, and they want to get his money before he gets out.
I mean, I don't think that makes a difference, you know, so why didn't they just file it in February or March? You would have got his fine.
Well, you know, their case was filed incorrectly, which, you know, if anybody believes that, I've got a bridge in California or some swampland in Florida that I wouldn't sell you. So, you know, and I'm sure after, you know, that they're going to say, well, you know, we've been dealing with COVID-19. They're going to have their excuses lined up.
Yeah.
You know, my guess is they probably weren't going to charge him. You know, is what my guess is. And then, you know, as his name came up and, you know, all of a sudden, because before, I mean, nobody was talking about Tony La Russa until he became a candidate for the White Sox job. You know, he was working for the Angels and Major League Baseball and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden his name was all over the place and like, oh, well, let's throw this out there and draw a little attention to what we've got going on and, you know, make a little money for the state in the process. But, yeah, it's so weird because, you know, the White Sox have already came out and said they have no plans on removing him. But yet I keep hearing everybody be like, well, if he keeps his job or if the White Sox decide to hang on to him. You know, at this point, Dan, can they really get rid of him? And then who the hell would want the job after, you know, well, you're the second choice here. You know, we're going to take you after we had to get rid of Tony La Russa.
I mean, I'll take it.
You think they can get Renteria back? Could they get Renteria back?
The cost of them. You know, I mean, like I said, I'll take it. All I got to say is I love analytics, and the media will love me. But, you know, and that's kind of the dumb part about it is it's all these sabermetric who can't accept different opinions. You know, I mean, it's a total reflection of our society today. I think this way, and if you don't think this way, well, that's okay, but you're wrong. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you're talking about a guy who spent his entire life in baseball. He had the opportunity to work for the White Sox back in, was it 79, 80? And the only reason he was fired was because Hawk Harrelson didn't like him. So then he moved on and, you know, has a great career in St. Louis. So he's not a super sabermetric guy. But the whole game isn't sabermetrics, so you should have a combination. You know, I don't believe that teams still work in the old ways where the front office just sat in the front office and, you know, the coach, the manager, you'd call him up to tell him something and you'd get, you know, the entire book of cuss words and then a hang up. I don't think that style of baseball play is, you know, works anymore or happens anymore. And I think it takes a team to establish what they're going to do. So, you know, I mean, Tony La Russa has been working with baseball teams and trying to help them to make them improve. And he's seen some good things in Arizona when he was there. You know, the Angels, can't do anything about that. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a lot of guys who are expecting, you know, the next youngest manager in Major League Baseball history to be hired by the White Sox and just say, I'm only putting on the uniform to stand out there. I'm letting my Excel spreadsheet do the rest of the work.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of the hire. I think they could have, you know, found somebody else. My biggest fear with this hire is I keep hearing that they're going to allow La Russa to have a lot of input on personnel. You know, and obviously that's Rick Hahn's job, and he's done a pretty good job of assembling what looks like a very young, very talented team. You know, I don't want to see La Russa come in here and stumble over some of these young guys and then decide he doesn't like them because they're young. And, you know, you end up shipping off guys that you shouldn't be getting rid of, you know, because he doesn't like them. So that, you know, that's my fear, is him just being out of touch with the way the game is played now. So, you know, that'll be interesting. But the White Sox did make a hire today, Dan. They found Don Cooper's replacement, and it is Ethan Katz. And now I'm guessing nobody out there knows, I only know it because I'm looking at the article right now. He is 37 years old, and he spent time with the Angels, the Mariners, and the Giants. Most recently, he was the Giants' assistant pitching coach, but it doesn't say when. His real claim to fame, Dan, is he was Lucas Giolito's pitching coach in high school.
Oh. You got to get your starting career somehow, right?
Yeah, so, and I guess apparently Giolito still works with him in the off season. But, yeah, I mean, obviously one of the best ways to get Giolito to sign a long-term deal is hire his pitching coach, because obviously it's somebody he's going to want to work with. What I do find humorous is the start to this paragraph says, if La Russa does keep his job, Ethan Katz will be his pitching coach. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think it would have to take for the White Sox to actually fire him?
A total public smearing, recorded conversations of him using racial slurs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I find it humorous that they brought up the Colin Kaepernick thing, because at the time there were a whole lot of people, and there still are people, who don't agree with what Kaepernick did. So to single La Russa out for it is kind of odd. I would be more concerned that this is his second DUI, and I would worry that he has a problem, more than anything else. If I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm thinking, maybe this guy needs to get into some kind of alcohol counseling or, something like that if he's going to be my manager. But, yeah, I just find it interesting that it's always if or will or how it kind of works out. So.
Yeah. Well, what I can say, though, for sure, is I completely respect the White Sox. I heard the opinion. I actually caught our local news today. I had it on right before the podcast started for some reason. Oh, the reason was something else was on, and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Watching Steve Harvey and Family Feud. He is so funny. I heard the statement that was put out by the White Sox, and I mean, it's exactly what they needed to say, and it was completely professional, legal. And I love the fact that the White Sox are doing something that a lot of leagues aren't doing anymore, and they're letting the court handle the criminal action brought against him.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, like you said, that's exactly what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to the White Sox or Major League Baseball to be judge and jury. It's up to the Court of Arizona to make the decision that happens there. So,
I don't know. I'm tired of the leagues having to be that in that position all the time. I don't know. It's just.
I have a feeling this is going to be one of the stories that I just get really tired of, because it's just going to be there every day. So.
Oh, you mean like the election?
Yeah. Yeah. People wonder why I hate politics. But anyways, we did have two players accept the qualifying offer and two players turn down the qualifying offer. No surprise that George Springer and JT Realmuto both declined the offers. Springer from the Astros, Realmuto from the Phillies. They're both expected to get big-time long-term deals from teams. I wasn't shocked to hear Kevin Gausman accept the offer from the Giants, because let's face it, Kevin Gausman isn't going to do better than $18.9 million a year on the open market. Even if a team is desperate for starting pitching, he's not getting anything close to that. What I did find funny here, Dan, is, Marcus Stroman came out and made a huge case about, I would never play for Tony La Russa, and you couldn't pay me anything in the world to go there. And then he accepted the qualifying offer from the Mets, so he wasn't going anyplace anyways. He was just shooting his mouth off and trying to be interesting, I guess. So, are you not surprised by any of these moves?
No, I mean, I don't, let's be honest, La Russa or no La Russa, if I'm Rick Hahn in the White Sox, I wasn't really looking at Stroman, so.
No, he wasn't a target for me either, but apparently he thinks he was.
I think like you were saying about Gausman, he and Stroman are in the same position. They're not going to garner that money on the market, and they better push to, get that far this year. That money.
Yeah, and to be fair, Stroman is a prospect who's never turned into what everybody thought he was going to be. So, you can say whatever you want. You can continue to talk about what, great potential the guy has. And, we'll see. He's going to be 30. There are a lot of people who say when a pitcher turns 30, they finally got it figured out. So we'll see if Stroman can figure it out and actually turn into what everybody thought he was going to be, which is a top of the rotation starter who can give you 15 to 18 wins. And well, in today's baseball, a couple hundred innings, or at least 200, maybe close to that. But we'll have to wait and see if he can do it, or, you know, if he's just another one of these guys we add to the bust pile and go, oh, yeah, remember that guy? So.
Yeah, well, you know, wasn't his last real what we really saw from him in 2015 playoffs?
Yeah, I thought he had another real strong year with the Blue Jays after that. I'll have to double check here. But yeah, I let's see what we got here. 2017 he was 13-9 with a 3.09 ERA. He made 33 starts and he finished 8th in the Cy Young voting. So, yeah, he had that one strong year. But, I mean, otherwise, when you look at it, you know, as a rookie, he was 11-6. He went 4-0 in 2015 and then got hurt. So, you know, he didn't make a whole lot of – or I should say he got hurt before and then came back. You know, he's made five playoff starts, but he's 1-1 with a 4.40 ERA. So not exactly the dominant – starter you're looking for, right?
No.
You know, and I mean, like, you know, his before the Toronto traded him, he did have a 2.96 ERA. They just weren't hitting for him. He was 6-11. But you also have to remember, he opted out last year. Remember, he started the season off hurt, and then when he got healthy, he decided to opt out. So, you know, I would honestly question his will to want to play the game, because I would think a guy going into free agency would want to come back and prove himself. But instead he took the easy way out and bailed and took the salary. So, you know, we'll see, you know, if it works out. And, you know, you look at Gausman and, you know, I know he did really well for the Giants last year, but, you know, Dan, is he an $8.9 million pitcher? Or 18.9, sorry.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially, I mean, we're talking about a guy who just hasn't produced. You know, he had one really good year with Atlanta, but it was only over, it was only over 10 starts. And that was after they picked him up from Baltimore. So I don't know. I mean, his career record is 50-66, and his ERA is 4.26 for his career. I know these don't matter anymore because nobody cares about it because it's analytic. But, you know, you're even looking, I mean, even last year for the Giants, they're paying him off of just, you know, he made 10 starts and 59.2 innings. You know, he made a couple relief appearances as well. So, you know, that's a lot of money to throw out at a guy who, I get it, it's 1 year, so it's not a huge gamble, but that's still a ton of money. I don't know. So,
well, where's Gausman again?
Huh?
Wait, I'm confused who you're talking about. Never mind.
Kevin Gausman.
Oh, that's what I thought. And I said, where what team is he with again? I just blanked on it.
Now he's with the Giants. So.
Oh, yeah, the Giants.
It looks he'll
look at what's with that rotation though. You got Cueto back; he should be healthy. Smarge is still there for one last year too, correct? Or is that
Smarge is gone? They released him.
Oh, that's
so. You know, we'll have to. Have to kind of figure out what they're. You know, what they're building. And I know Derek Rodriguez just signed with the Rockies. Obviously I don't think he was in much of the Giants' plans. I'm honestly trying to remember who they have on the team that's going to make starts, and I'm going to see if I can hunt down their depth chart here really quick and take a look. All right, well, they have quite a few guys listed here, Dan. Obviously, Cueto, Gausman. Looks like they have Tyler Anderson, Andrew Suarez. Tyler Beede is there, but he's mostly been a reliever. And then they have guys who are Webb. I don't know his first name. It starts with an L. Anderson, another one. Garcia, and then I'm guessing this is Hiley, or no, probably Jelly, H-J-E-L-L-E. So not a, you know, I mean, obviously Cueto's a household name and they really like Gausman, but not exactly the rotation you're going to scare people with, right?
No, not one bit. Got Cueto, though.
You know what I
mean? He's back.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's back.
So, you know, that will help out, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know.
I guess it just goes to show how much, you know, having pitching, you know, wins. You had three World Series with that team, and three of them pretty much essentially had the same group of starting pitchers. You know, Lincecum, Baumgartner, come on, Big Jack, three, help me out. Matt Cain. There's two more. I can't think of them. But, you know, they kind of all were all together, and when they were off, they obviously were off in the odd years. Couldn't all get it together then, but you know, it's interesting. And then despite all the, you know, most of the talent that they have in the field, they just can't stay at that level that they were once at.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's tough. And, you know, maybe they're on track and some of these guys develop into starting pitchers. I mean, I don't know much about, I looked it up and it's Logan Webb. I don't know much about Logan Webb. I don't know much about Sean Anderson. So maybe they turn into quality starting pitchers, but I don't know if, you know, if that's going to be the case. I mean, who knows? So we'll just have to, you know, kind of wait and see. Know how it works out. So, but now, you know, I know you're coming back from your first loss of the season. Did you remember to get out and set your lineup in case you got anybody playing tonight? You know, we got Colts and Titans. So, are you all set?
I'm all set. I mean, I'm all set, but I mean, was this past week my downfall, my loss to you? Matt Ryan goes on bye this week, and Greg Minshew is out. Luckily, nobody picked up his backup, so I have that going for me.
Well, that's good.
Didn't
you play a dead team, you think?
Let me double check that. I guess I didn't look at that. But no, I mean, it's just when you look at it from that point of view, it's just, I guess you could say, a little disheartening. But yeah, you're right. I am playing a dead team, so maybe I just went into panic mode.
Yeah, because I did go through. I was looking at that league yesterday, and it looks like we have six or seven teams that actually have just given up. So, you know, obviously we'll be eliminating them after the season. It looks like a couple of them actually made changes for the first few weeks and then just quit. So I'm guessing they must have lost the first couple weeks and just decided it wasn't worth it.
Now, you know, we kind of got into the fantasy talk. Let's get into some commissioner talk. How do you find all that? How do you pinpoint that? Are you looking at week to week individually, or does Yahoo let us look at something that says, hey, these champions are playing this week?
What I do is the obvious way to know is you go into a team and you look at his lineup. And if it's, you know, riddled with IR or players who are out that you know aren't going to play, it becomes a little obvious that whoever is running this team is just given up and they're going to, you know, not change this lineup. You know, and I'll check from week to week. You know, I'll give it a couple weeks and go like, okay, you know, it's the same as it was for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and no, you know, he hasn't taken out any of these injured guys. So obviously there's an issue, you know, and it's one of the drawbacks. You know, I used to email the guys and just be like, hey, what's going on? Are you still with us? But I'm to the point now where I don't even bother doing that anymore because they just don't reply. So. But, yeah, I'm surprised. I saw one of the guys who stopped changing is a guy who's been with us for a few years now. So, I am kind of curious what happened to him. You know, with everything going on, you know, you just hope that nobody got sick or anything like that and just hasn't been able to do it. But, yeah, otherwise, and, you know, it's always the new guys. I think what happens is they get overwhelmed by our league. And, you know, they jump in and they think it's a great idea to play 20 teams, and then they play 20 teams. So.
Well, and, you know, and that's the rough part. You know, we've talked about it, you know, off air or whatever. But this is my first year, and I think I think my history on this account starts at 2013. And, you know, and people laugh on this account. Why did you set up a second one? Well, when I first started doing fantasy, I think, did you get me started doing it 10 years ago or so? I had an AT&T email address, Yahoo, they weren't together, you know. So I had used that. But the problem was, at the time, and this is so stupid, Big Jack, when you canceled AT&T, they used to shut down your email address with Yahoo. So I had a whatever it was at yahoo.com. They shut it down. And when I called to get access to it, because I'm like, well, I need to put me on my fantasy team. Well, if you want access to it, you got to pay for it. And I was like, I'll just create a new one. I was like, you do realize I could go on yahoo.com and create a new one for free. And you're going to charge me to have access to that email address. And she didn't say anything. So I was like, all right. So, but as I ramble on, this is the first year I'm in a playoff position in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've never done well. So it's taken a long time with 20 teams.
You sound like me in basketball. You know, that's just my curse is for whatever reason I can't win on the basketball front. But yeah, you know, and what's even odd is that other league I kind of got roped into. You know, it's an 18 teamer, and there's, you know, they have as many dead teams as we do. You know, it's just guys that for whatever reason just stop going up. So,
they have more or as many, you said?
They have as many as we do. They have 5 or 6 as well that just, you know, are just, you know, completely dead for whatever reason.
So.
Well, and you know, I say it every year that I'm going to quit because I suck. You know, so this was that year where I do good that, you know, for the next 5 years, whenever year when I tell you I'm going to quit, you could be like, oh, I remember that 1 year.
Yeah, remember that 1 year? You had that 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the old Al Bundy. So, but, you know, and like you said, you know, even for both of us with, well, for me especially, with basketball, you know, I started off as high as you can go winning the inaugural league. And then I don't think I've made the playoffs since. Except until this year when we got shut down. I don't know why they couldn't just archive it, Big Jack. Why couldn't they just let it sit there and then when they opened back up?
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, I was actually going to make the basketball playoffs this year too. So.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean.
And, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. I still would have got it. I would have been changing my lineup. But, I mean, you know, if the NBA didn't shut it down, why did Yahoo shut it down? They could have just left it.
Yeah. My only thing was the fact not every team played was the only thing I was thinking it might be.
Oh, because they went straight into playoffs. I thought they did regular season games.
So, well, they did, but remember, they didn't invite every team. You know, they invited, like, what was it, 15 teams or 18 teams or something. So, you know.
Oh, I see.
But what
I didn't realize that.
You know, yeah, what's kind of funny is in that one league, I mentioned it. A long time ago, I tried to swap a guy, James Conner, for Joe Mixon, and he didn't want the deal. He was just really crappy towards me about it and didn't accept the deal. Humorously, he hasn't changed his lineup since I offered him that deal. He's got guys like DeAndre Hopkins sitting on his bench, and he's got two guys in his lineup that are on the IR. So it's just kind of like, okay, you know. And I mean, in reality, he did me a favor because Mixon got hurt. But, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, why, you know, what you know, what's the problem? So.
I know. I've gotten lucky. I made a couple of trades this year, which is kind of unusual as kind of, the last couple of seasons have gone where people are just, you know, so high strung on what they have, and they're only willing to give up the guys that they picked up off the waiver wire that they needed because so and so got hurt. You know, and it's like,
okay,
I'm a complete tool. Let me just hand over my number one guy and then have to drop three, you know, two more guys so I can take all three of your shitty players.
Yeah, well, that was like, you know, I told you that last trade I got in that league was four of his bench players that I wouldn't even play for two of my starters.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of like, and one of them was Dalvin Cook. It's like, I've been waiting for Dalvin Cook to come back healthy for weeks. And it's like, you think I'm going to give him up? You know, I mean, you know, I wouldn't have held on to him if I was, you know, not going to plan on playing him. And obviously he's been great since returning. But, yeah, it was just like, why would I make this deal? You know, I mean, you offer me nothing. You know, and I mean, I'm having a good year in that league. I think I'm 7-2, so I'm looking like a playoff team. And it's just like, really? You know, and one of the things the guy told me was, oh, you'll like it. There's a lot of trades and a lot of activity. Dan, there hasn't been one trade in that league all season. So the only trade that even came through was one where it was somebody was trading, I think it was Lamar Jackson, for basically, like you said, a waiver wire pickup. And it you know, the commissioner shot it down because it was obviously, you know, a BS trade. Kind of like the trades that happened in mine and Fantasy's Money League. So, You know, even though I don't think I've came across any of those yet this year.
Well,
I think they've kind of been
sometimes. I was going to say, don't they sometimes help each other out with their trades in that league?
Oh, yeah, they do it all. They do it all the time in that league. You know, I'll see a trade come through, and I'll email Mr. Fantasy going, what the hell is this? So it does seem to happen more in baseball than football, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know why that seems to be the deal, but – yeah, in baseball, there's always those trades where it's like, well, I'll give you, you know, you Darvish, and you give me, you know, Tyler Chatwood in return, and we'll, you know, and that'll be a good deal. So, but yeah, it's like, okay, sure, that's what I wanted to see. So, yeah, and I, you know, and again, you know, it's one of those things where I've tried to say stuff, or they said they were going to look at it, and nothing's ever happened. You know, it's just like, really? Like, you couldn't do anything at all? No.
Yeah, well, you know, that's like, I received my first of the season, the 3-for-1. And I was like, well, number one, I go, this one's weird because I actually benefit in this trade he's offering only by one guy. But, you know, I threw back a fair trade, 2-for-2. And he actually took it. You know, so when I got the email that it was confirmed, I was like, whoa, this guy actually makes real trades.
Yeah, no, I, you know, like I said, I sent out some trades and just couldn't even get a, you know, a counter offer, you know, because like I'm always the one, like that first trade I send you is going to favor me,
yeah.
You know, just because I honestly just don't want to make a mistake and be like, ah, crap, you know, I gave this guy away. I shouldn't have done that. So, you know, the first one is always going to be in my favor. You know, and I'm willing to admit that. I have no shame in that. But that's just how I do it. But, yeah, it's kind of like counter me. You know, and it's not like I'm sending you, you know, 5 bench guys for your starter. You know, I legitimately try to, you know, help fill your needs with mine. But again, you know, and I've tried in all 3 leagues, I haven't had anybody even counter me. So.
Well, and that's the funny thing with you and I think it's because of the podcast and whatever, but whenever I match up our team, it's like, I can never really find a decent trade between the two of us. You know, what I'm looking for,
even,
you can't really give up.
I even tried to trade with my buddy for more Greg, because him and I have great luck working together, but not this year. If you check out the box, you want to go ahead and get that on the Twitter feed.